Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
Let me welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, part of a continuing series with Jack E. Schick. A Faith Worth Living is the name of his book. Everyone's got to get it. Terrific, and a wonderful man with a wonderful message. And you know, it's always nice to promote a good book. It's especially nice to promote a good book that's selfless and that really has a bigger picture involved. But Jack, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, it is true. You know what they say. It's when you talk on a higher plane, when you talk about something larger than yourself and ourselves, it's you get this extra, I don't know, this extra momentum going. And it's you know, you're not saying, hey, do this and take this action and you'll get riches. Don't do this and you'll lose weight. What you're talking about is bringing people back to faith and to their faith, and it's a very honorable thing to do. Do you feel like an extra sense of purpose now that the book's out and now that you've kind of put your thoughts to paper? And you know, it's there, but I mean, does it feel different having the book out than prior to having the book out?
Yeah, in a number of ways. I guess you could say that my purpose has always been to try to bring people back to faith since I started the whole project, and it was over a number of years. But now that it's out and now that I've shared it with a number of people, and I'm starting to hear people back say, even people that of great faith have said, this has been important for me. This has helped me quite a bit to understand things within the church and elsewhere. And as I said the last time, you know, my real purpose for going back to this project was to have people of the Catholic faith stop and think about what they have. Yeah, there's a number of angry people there. There's a number of people that are upset. But I guess my whole purpose is to say, remember why you have faith. Remember that the church has stood for 2,000 years, and it'll stand as long as Christ wants it to stand. And that's the real purpose behind everything. As I said the last time also, I interact with a number of people through the many different things that I do now that I'm retired. I have time to actually do a lot more of God's work, and you know, I want them to understand that yeah, the world's a sorry place today, but, you know, we need to stand as people for God.
We spoke about this last time we talked, that there are people out there that are kind of, you know, cheering on, you know, bad experiences that are happening and anything. You know, they're just people out there hoping for doomsday and hoping for the worst. We got to remember also that the church has seen over the years, over the 2,000 plus years, there has been scandals in the church, just like in any major religion or any major organization, because anywhere there's men and women, I should say, you know, that have free will, I mean, they're going to go the wrong way sometime. I don't care what religion, what nationality, what creed or color you are, you're going to have that. It's the survival in the long run of the meanings, of the tenets, of the beliefs of an organization. That's what makes it strong. So, you know, for all those you know, people that are reacting or overreacting to you know, some terrible things that happen, it's not doomsday. We've seen this over the course of 2,000 years. You saw people selling graces, you know, they used to call it, and that means, you know, you give us a certain amount of money and you're going to go to heaven automatically. And of course that was
right.
That was corrected. It wasn't It's not a practice that continues on. Jack E. Schick is our very special guest. And again, the name of the book is A Faith Worth Living. No truer words have ever been said. It is certainly a faith worth living. And it goes for people that are choosing different paths. If you're choosing God or you're choosing faith, you're on the right track. As long as your religion or whatever is not telling you to hurt somebody else or to harm somebody else or to denigrate someone else, then almost more power to them. But specifically in the book, the title kind of says it all. Did you struggle with the title? Did you have a couple of different titles and you went back and forth, or was this something that just kind of came to you?
The title, is, you know, it was, it just jumped out at me, when I decided to kind of rewrite the book, more toward an evangelization, if you will, or more toward a defense of the church and the faith, then now more than ever, just jumped out at me. I mean, because, you know, as we said last time, of the two basic problems that I see, one is the world in general has kind of turned its back on faith. Many people think that they're much smarter than that ancient myth, so to speak. And the other is to remind those people, specifically of my faith, that, you know, why they do have faith. And it doesn't have anything to do. You mentioned earlier about the church going through so many problems. I mean, it started in the first century. The first century basically had a number of problems. If people tried to figure this thing out of somebody as selfless as Christ, and could he have, you know, could he have been a man as well as a divine character? So that's where it started, and it's had its problems ever since. A number of crises as we've come down through. Of course, we went through schisms, we went through the Reformation, we went through the Counter-Reformation, and all along. And if you look and you go back even further, to those that can't believe this, you know, if this was really something other than divine, then you're looking at through the Old Testament and the New and the way that it all ties together, you're looking at a 1600 year hoax. Who's smart enough to put that together?
Yeah.
And going down through the whole thing, because my whole thing of evangelizing, is to look at and try to get people to think through, salvation history, which started with Abraham. And if you look through the Old Testament until the time the Gospels were done, which was in the second century, you're looking at, 1400 to 1600 years.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and again, going back to your point about a tremendously long hoax or whatever, you're talking about some of the most brilliant people being part of the same faith that you are, and we're talking scientists and doctors and lawyers and business folks and inventors, I think sometimes people outsmart themselves, and especially this generation coming up. I have children in this generation, and I know that it's so popular to question everything, and I think that's all fine, to question things, but to convince yourself that you're the bottom line, and that there's not a higher force out there, whether they call it God or whatever they newfangled terms, to me. The whole idea of atheism is, Look, it's free will. People have their right. But is ludicrous to me. I mean, that's like looking at the trees and saying that they just happened by accident or something. Man somehow created this at some point. But we fool ourselves into believing sometimes that we're greater than God, or that we're gods ourselves, or you know, some type of thing. You know, all you have to do is look around at the nature. You look around at us, the people, and the different things that happen, and miracles that happen, and people that put their lives there. And I think it puts a stake in the idea of atheism. It's a very selfish thought that there's no higher force. Of course there's a higher force, you know.
And in the first part of my book, that's what I really, really try to get to, is if you look at the way the world is put together, and the way we as human beings are put together, there has to be, this didn't all happen by accident. If you want to talk about evolution, even if we did evolve, there's not some intelligent being had to drive that. I personally believe that God made us in his own image and likeness, and that's why we are so different than any other being, in that we've got a soul, we have got a mind, we can recognize things like love, compassion, honesty, integrity, but God gave us free will too, so we can recognize all the other stuff like lust and greed and avarice and envy. But getting back to the first part of my book, I try to walk through a number of reasons why I believe that God created the world, and it couldn't have just happened by accident. Because everything, an accident, let's face it, creates chaos, and the world is anything but chaos. We basically, there's so many ordered systems in the world, that one depends on the other. Photosynthesis is one, the moon and the creation of the tides and the current is another. But if you look at, physics or chemistry or all the sciences, you look at an order there. I mean, we even have, chemistry has its table of elements, and one right after the other, et cetera. Everything is so ordered that that it has to be by intelligent design out of somebody's mind. And that somebody to me is God. That's how he created us. I mean, the atmosphere, to have an atmosphere, we have to be exactly where we are. Otherwise we wouldn't have one. There's so many reasons.
Well, not only is there order, and all over the world, but there was order all over the world before the world was in contact with each other, right? You have Native Americans that were here at the same time as people in China. They had no they had no communication or no knowledge of each other, and yet there's family structures that develop, and there's language that developed, and then there's emotions that were universal, and all of those things. For that to be some kind of happy accident would be some kind of, I don't know what the odds of something like that would be. It's just amazing. But you're right. There's order all over the world, and there has been for millennial. And again, yes, we're making progress, and yes, things evolve. But to think that there's no higher force that had something to do with that evolving, and I'm not talking about physically evolving, I'm talking about everything involved. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Frank McKay here with Jack E. Schick. A Faith Worth Living is the name of the book. It's a must get. Everyone should get it. It's just wonderful. Jack, if I'm remembering properly, you spent 27 years in the Navy, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, 27 years in the Navy, and there spending time with you are men and women who are away from their families and who are, you know, sometimes, many times in harm's way, or uncertainty is there, and a concern about, are we going to battle? Are we going to need to defend our country at this time? Are we going to be deployed and be away from our families for longer? And we're talking about people who maybe just had children, or people who have young children, and they're going to miss certain events in their life, and it's a real sacrifice there. Do you find that the folks, once they get into those situations in the military and they're sacrificing so much, do they draw themselves more to faith, or do they stay the same, or do they draw away from faith?
I would say, I guess, the service is really a cross-section of our society. So you're going to find people of faith and people that do not have faith, present there. But I would say that during the tough times, I've seen some people turn to faith. I've seen faith grow stronger. It's that old adage of, when the chips are down, and things look then, there are no atheists in foxholes, is the old joke. But when the chips are down, yeah, you tend to turn. I mean, my joke is always, when I'm on an airplane hurtling toward the the point of no return, the act of contrition sounds pretty good to me. So, it certainly strengthened my faith over the years because of my interactions with so many people that I came in contact with.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for, well, everything you just said there, but the old adage that there are no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, and it's really true. I mean, you see people when they're faced with a situation, and that could very much mean dealing with disease or dealing with a newfound medical situation that they're in, or a family member is in, and you might see people that are so far away from faith decide to say, "Oh my God, if there is somebody out there, then please hear me," or whatever. And in some ways, fine. It is if they find faith that way, why not? Right? I mean, whatever brings somebody to faith.
Whatever brings somebody to faith is, and that's the job of, the Holy Spirit that I to my belief, that functions within the world, because he gives, he's been slapping me upside the head, many times over my life as I go back and forth, et cetera. But, God, puts things, in front of us sometimes to bring us back. In that case, to my way of thinking, there's nothing that is wrong with whatever brings somebody back to the faith, whether it be a conversation, whether it be a crisis, whatever it is. Now, my personally, crises have played a key role in my faith journey, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if you look at the history of the Israeli people, they went away and ended up suffering for it, and then came back. And that's, I think that their journey through history reflects the journey of everybody that is searching for faith or trying to deepen their faith. So, and that's been inspiring to me as I've studied the faith over the years.
We got a couple moments left with Jack E. Schick, part of a continuing series with Jack. Binge listen to the last show and this show as well. iHeartRadio.com is a good place to start, and anywhere else you get fine radio. But Jack E. Schick, once again, is our very special guest, and he's the author of A Faith Worth Living. What can you leave us with? And, you know, point to something, you know, again, we want people to buy the book. We want people to read the book from cover to cover. But give us something, if you can, in closing, just a quick thought from the book that you could leave people with as we end here.
Well, the real key, I think, is, you know, if you're a person of faith, the middle portion of my book really talks to, okay, what does that mean about how I should live my life? And I use scripture basically to show people and discuss, okay, well, how does this apply to what I should be doing or thinking, et cetera? And as I said, my whole purpose is to get people to think about their faith, because, you know, the mind has to engage, I believe, before the heart does. So I cover a lot of things. Like, I have a very in-depth section on the Beatitudes and what that means for our life, or what the Ten Commandments mean for our life, and that sort of thing. And so I guess the real key for me is that hopefully people of faith will look at that, and it'll strengthen their faith. I've had a few people who've read the book now tell me that it's done just that for them, and for that I'm very, very thankful. That was the reason that was one of the many reasons that I wrote it.
After I spoke to you, my thought was, and especially with the 27 years and the military service and what you're doing now and what you're doing, if you want to call this retirement, I mean, writing books and talking about books is a pretty nice way to spend it. But I thought after I spoke to you last time, what a well-spent life, and it's still going on. Jackie Schick is the author of A Faith Worth Living, and it certainly is. And the book and the man together is you know, very consistent with the way he spent his life. And everyone get the book. Jack, thank you very much for being here. A website or a social media site you want to leave us with?
Yes, the website is now up. It's www.jackschick.com. The book's on Amazon, and it can be purchased through Author House. It's also on Barnes & Noble.
Terrific job. Thanks for being here, Jack, and God bless.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Jackie Schick, everyone, the author of A Faith Worth Living. Get the book on Amazon and check out Jack's website. And again, listen to the last show we did as well, and part of a continuing series with Jack E. Schick. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.